missed tears go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move. Freedom,
what is up, Wisconsin? I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, sweet relief for us in southeastern Wisconsin. What a glorious thing to wake up to the 70s. I mean, that's just amazing. I hope you all are enjoying perhaps a rainy and yet much cooler day today. We've got a great show this afternoon. Got a couple of really, really special guests stopping by. As you have now become accustomed to in the 3 o'clock hour, it is always Maggie and the Millionaires. I'm going to be joined by an incredible woman this afternoon. Really excited to have her. Her name is Tiffany Muller. She helped found and is the president of End Citizens United and Let America Vote, which I don't know about you. Like, yeah, that's a thing. Coming right on the heels of our discussion yesterday with Scott Ellis about this disease of out-of-control wealth. And by that, we mean people that have more than 30 mil in the bank. Nobody needs more than 30 mil in the bank. What we talked about with Scott yesterday was, you've got all this obnoxious wealth, and since you can't buy any more Rolls Royces or homes or, I don't know, fancy jewels, eventually this obscene, obnoxious wealth, something north of 30 mil, which includes Eric Hovde and Ron Johnson and Donald Trump and many of our now candidates and electeds. What do they do with this if they're not trying to buy an office, buy an election directly as the candidate? Citizens United just told them, well, you can just spend unlimited dollars on political campaigns, so you yourself don't actually even have to be the candidate. You just pay for all their advertising and control them that way.
Corporations are people, except for when you have to hold them accountable as people, and then they're not.
Then they're not. Just ask the Sacklers, who own Purdue Pharma, who created the opioid epidemic, which brings me to my second very special guest. Thank you for that transition, Brian. We are going to be joined by Dr. Rahul Gupta today. Dr. Gupta is the director of the White House Office on Gun Control Policy. Why are we doing this? Because it is the International Day to Combat Addiction. So all of that happening today on the show. Again, want to remind everybody, we've got a special guest tomorrow, Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area, who just became Civic Media's political editor, will be joining me for a conversation. Really excited about that. You can hear from Dan tomorrow. You can find some of Dan's writings, all that good stuff at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But I was struck today, Brian, as I was coming into work, there were lots of cars. I happened to go by one of UW Milwaukee's dormitories. I was driving through Marquette's campus. Seems to be a lot of college students checking into their dorms.
Suckers. I mean, yes, there are a lot of kids moving in.
What a miserable experience to move into a college. Like, there's no way to make either the moving into a college dormitory or actual dorm living enjoyable, unless you go to one of those fancy Nancy private schools that have,
I had
like
a great time in the dorms. It was ridiculous. That I also went to the dorms when the Nintendo 64 came out, and that's when 007 Bond was there.
Wow.
And that's when Mario Kart was a thing, and there were, you know, kids with TVs in their rooms and skipping classes, having Mario Kart tournaments, and having, like, if you had an interactive dorm, it was fun.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I had plenty of good times. I think, you know, collective living, whether you're doing it at in college or you have some other experience, even if it's a close-knit condo or apartment building and you get, that's a good time, like fellowship and actually meeting and greeting people every day and developing relationships based on proximity and just, again, that idea of living as a community. Like, that's, there's a lot of good that comes from that. But listen, I used to live, when I was at Marquette my freshman year, I checked into the Beer Can on 16th and Wisconsin. old McCormick Hall for all of you Warriors or Golden Eagles or your preferred nomenclature for the Marquette mascot. That place was interesting. It was originally built so that all the dorms were singles. Of course, they crammed two of us into, and they were pie wedges because the building was round. So you had no reliable corners. It made for very, very cramped living.
I feel like this is a unique Marquette problem rather than a universal. I mean, the move-in day is just absolute, you know, ridiculousness
chaos,
in the first place.
Right? People are boxing out for the tubs, you know, to put your stuff. Yeah. Never seen my mom get so into it. Like,
both of my siblings, both of my siblings have worked in higher education, specifically in dorm life as well. And so I have a unique perspective on this. And they, yeah, there's no good way to make that happen.
I was myself never an RA, would definitely not qualify for that sort of responsibility level at the 18, 19, 20-year-old range.
My brother moved all the way up to a Title IX investigator. He went to, he was an RA, then he was the head of a dorm, and then he went to a Title IX investigator, and he kind of got burned out after having to tell someone.
Why are we talking to your brother on the show?
Well, I got to get him, he's got to recover a little bit. He's now working for Big Pork instead.
One taskmaster for another.
What burned him out was having to explain. You should not put your genitals in someone else's peanut butter. You just shouldn't. And I have to explain that to someone. And that reality for him was was fun for a while.
Is it specific to the peanut butter or the genitals? Or is this just like genitals and food substances writ large? I can't believe.
I guess in general, if you're going to go and put them in contact, I would take the peanut butter out of the jar and apply it like a lotion type of situation.
All right, Brian. No.
You were just asking.
Stop talking.
I'm trying to give good recommendations for everyone.
I'm putting my proverbial foot down.
That's fine.
If we had a Maggie Dawn show late night version, we could explore this topic at length, but we don't. I mentioned all of this returning to school. It's Labor Day weekend coming up. This is the kickoff. We talked about teachers and students and classrooms at these extraordinary heat levels yesterday. So always a lot of excitement and enthusiasm, maybe even a little dread this time of year, both professors, teachers, and students all across the board.
I still have it. I still have
anxiety.
I'm behind. I'm already behind. Haven't started, but I'm already behind. Right. I'm not in school.
But on a very, very serious note, and I'm working to potentially get Dr. Ben Weston, who's a community health expert, acts as one of the health policy advisors for Milwaukee County, trying to get him lined up for next Tuesday, the very start of school for many, many, many school systems across the state. It's looking good, folks. We're probably going to have Dr. Ben on Tuesday. But the reason that I mention all this, and I want to talk a little bit about this, is because rates of vaccine waivers amongst Wisconsin school students, not just public school students, but school students, because this has to get reported up to the State Department of Education as well as the State Department of Health Services. These have been skyrocketing. There's been great reporting from a number of news outlets across the state. This isn't just a Milwaukee thing. It's not a danger. It's rural and urban. This anti-vax thinking has taken a stronger and stronger foothold. To be sure, probably very predictable coming out of COVID. But the consequences can be indeed absolutely devastating. So here are some of the statistics. We have seen an increase in the vaccine waivers, as well as students simply not turning in their immunization or their vaccine paperwork. So there's two things going on here, folks. People that want to get vaccines and just haven't for whatever set of reasons, more on that in a minute, and those who file for waiver exemptions. Okay. And whether or not you're isolating either of those groups, the combined effect across schools in the state of Wisconsin are these steadily increasing rates of students that don't have the required vaccinations. This year, nearly 100,000 students, or 10.8% of our entire student population, did not meet minimum immunization requirements for attending school or had no vaccine record on file. I mean, that's shocking. This is an uptick from the prior year where it was around 10.1. So we've basically gone from 10% to 11%. More than half of these people are the waiver folks. Like, I'm not getting a vaccine intentionally, and here is my waiver. And this is up quite a bit. It has been creeping up. But the year before 23, so in the 22 school year, it was only 6.1%. And that, my friends, was the highest unvaccinated percentage of school students in the state since the late 90s. And now we're at 10.8?
That's ridiculous.
Truly, that is a word that could be deployed here. I want to hear what you think about this. If you're someone who has filled out a waiver for your kids, why? What's going on? Like, and there, listen, there are a few legitimate reasons. There are medical things, and the vaccine is incompatible with your child's otherwise medical
condition.
Certain
people just can't get them.
Correct. Other than that, why?
But that's also why everybody else gets them, to help the people who can't get them.
Yeah, that's kind of how these immunizations and vaccines work. So we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back. I want to hear from you. What do you think about this? What can we do to push back on this? Needless to say, that nutbag RFK Jr. isn't helping much with all this problem. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What do you think of this, frankly, skyrocketing rates of unvaccinated, non-immunized kids as we go back to school here in the state of Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back after these important messages. I'm gonna keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Shots, 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 shots. Everybody!
You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer's Brian Kelly. You can give us a call or text 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. Topic of this half hour is, what in the heck is going on with the explosion in vaccine waivers in public schools, and I'm specifically focusing on 3K through 12th grade. So elementary, primary, and secondary school. It's not a good look. We went from around 6.1% in the 22-23 school year, which was the highest rate of waivers plus people failing to turn in their immunization records, up to 10.8%. And the 6 point, what was it? 6 point, what did I say? 6 point, I lost it. Where was it exactly? It's 6 point whatever percent, 6.5%. That was the highest rate since the 90s, 6.1%. Highest rate since the 90s. It's gone up to 10.8%. I'm concerned. If I was a parent, I would be concerned. If you've got school-age children, does this worry you? Do you have an immunocompromised child, a child with other health conditions? Are you as worried about this as I am? Because this seems so ridiculous. Let's go to the phones. We have our friend Tiffany from Madison. Are you worried about this, Tiffany?
You know what? I have kind of a different take on it. When my daughter was small, I got a waiver because I didn't want her to get four or five shots at a time. and that's how they're given to children. So I got a waiver so the school district wouldn't keep bothering me to get the shots. I got them all according to the plan, but I took her in and got one at a time instead of taking her in to get four stuck in her at once. So it spread the time out and allowed her immune system to not be compromised by so many vaccines at once. That was the reason I chose to have the waiver. She is completely vaccinated, so it's never an issue for me. I think vaccinations are extremely important. And the school district actually excludes children for up to 10 days if they're not vaccinated. So that's going to be something interesting that's going to happen as this goes through with 10% of kids now not vaccinated and on those waivers. So it'll just be really interesting. I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't get your child vaccinated unless they have a health issue.
Right.
And the waivers are nice if you want to spread them out, because otherwise you're hassled by the districts of, you know, school districts
right.
to get the shot.
Which they frankly
and
should be doing,
you know,
to make sure that it's safe for all the other
they
kids.
Should do, but, you know, with that many kids, I don't even know how they're going to keep up with
yes.
trying to get people to
the
get
sheer
vaccinated.
The sheer numbers, seems, Tiffany. And, yeah, I have a question for you. Oh, did you eventually turn in your vaccination and immunization records for your daughter?
Oh yeah, every time she got a vaccine, I would let them know.
Yeah,
because it's important that kids get vaccinated. I just didn't want her to go in and get five or six at once, because that's what a lot of times doctors will do. Because they think, oh, this is the only time I have this kid, so I'm going to give him as many vaccines as I can at once. And I don't know if that is so good for somebody's immune system.
Yeah, I take your point. I'm no MD, Tiffany. Thank you for calling up and pointing out what can be a more nuanced approach. I'll take that. We always can have those conversations. I think if you talk to the vast majority of pediatricians and we look at some of the peer-reviewed literature, the reason that doctors do give all of those vaccines and immunizations at once is for precisely the reason that Tiffany just pointed out, that statistical studies, if we spread them out, fewer kids get the entire number of recommended vaccines and immunizations for their age. And so doctors do often try to recommend that they get them all at once. Tiffany, she's not the mom I'm worried about. You know what I'm saying, right?
No,
she's not the parent. I'm like, that's a reasonable approach. She made the appointments. She spaced them out. She turned in the paperwork. That's not the concern. That's a parent taking a reasonable approach to making reasonable healthcare decisions for their child so that their child is themselves safe, but also respecting the need for their child to preserve their immunity, but also recognizing that immunizations and vaccinations are also about protecting all of the other kids and teachers and staffers in a school system. Thanks so much for your call, Tiffany. Thanks for listening. Please do keep on. Folks, you want to get in on this, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Sherry from Horicon, nice to see you on the call list. Hope you're doing well. What do you have to say about this? Are you concerned?
Hi, Maggie. Hi, Brian. You know, I find it very disturbing. I'm 64. Okay, so I grew up, we all had our vaccines. When you're little, you're born, you get vaccines, blah, blah, blah. You keep up with the shots. No big deal. Never thought a single thing about it. When I was in the Navy, oh, golly, I remember lining up in boot camp, you know, with so many shots you wouldn't believe, and the malaria shots and all these different things, you know, and it's like you don't even think anything of it, you know, because you're protecting you and the person next to you.
Yeah,
you know?
That's the point, Sherry. This isn't just about you and your kid, though I'd make a self-interested argument out of the box. This will protect your kid. But it's also about everybody else. The idea of community wellness and caring about our neighbors. A couple of folks on the text lines, which I thought I would call out. Jack from Merrimack pointing this out. This old saw. Hey, Mom, what's that weird scar in your arm? Mom says, that's my smallpox vaccination, honey. Little girl says to Mom, but what's smallpox, Mom? Yep, that about sums it up. I had that exact conversation with my mother. I remember it because the indentation on her left arm for the small. Yeah, that's how we eradicate some of these diseases. and viruses. This is a good thing.
Amy's dad had polio, and not one time does a family get together go by without, "Oh, my brother had polio."
Well, and how terrible it was.
Oh, it's awful. Absolutely awful. But it's
measles.
It's also like, do not know. That's making a comeback, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
The measles outbreaks.
Hooray.
Matt from Richland Center texting in on WRCE says, "My blood boils. Years ago, doctors would recommend vaccines and parents would vaccinate. Now people think they know better than a guy who mapped the human genome because they watched a video on TikTok while taking their morning poo."
Hey, well, most of the drugs being out there that you can't get without a prescription, but they're advertising. You ask your doctor because you're smart enough.
Folks, if you want to both be entertained and engaged and riled up, I have a little recommendation for you. Check out John Oliver on RFK Jr. He just did it, I think, a day or two ago. And also John Oliver this week, tonight, on vaccine deniers. Boy. Yet I got your blood boiling. You're just, the hair will light right on fire when you watch those. When we come back, there's a dark money group sending mercenaries, paid mercenaries, out into your neighborhood. Inquiring minds want to know. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay put, everybody. I'm going to tell you all about those paid mercenaries knocking on your doors when we come back after these brief messages.
If you want to get sticky and hot, go, 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 go get the shot.
Wisconsin, welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. My producer's Brian Kelly. You can call him Fancy Brian. We all do, because he is indeed fancy. Should we tell him the origin? It's because you spell your name with a Y.
I spell my name with a Y, and then Dom said, "Oh, fancy."
Fancy.
And so
years
then
ago.
They just called me Fancy Brian from then on.
Like,
although I do know about
this?
Charcuterie. I'm aware of charcuterie, and I know which side most things go on the table, because I had to set it a lot.
There you go. That's Fancy Brian. He's my producer. You want to join our conversations on the text or call line 855-752-4842. In addition, if you go get the Civic Media app for free from wherever you get your apps, there's like the one-click shopping is sort of the idea. It's one-click call or text. Very handy, I find. Very handy. I also want to let everybody know the Brewers are playing tonight. I feel like I haven't watched baseball in a long time.
A really, really cool baseball thing just happened this week.
Ooh, tell us.
Never happened before. So you know how the trade deadline works, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
for those that don't, well,
you can only trade someone up until a certain point, and then afterwards you can't make trades the rest of the year.
You mean it sounds like a trade deadline?
Yeah, trade deadline. Yep. Basically, it's wow. You made me. You tricked me into mansplaining again. That's great. I usually do it just fine on my own, and now you tricked me. It's fine. So, okay. So there was a player, Danny Jansen, who played for the Toronto Blue Jays. He was traded to the Red Sox, all right?
Okay.
Well, he was traded to the Red Sox before the deadline. But before that, the Red Sox and Blue Jays had a game that was suspended by weather, right? And then they continued that game after the trade deadline.
Oh, but he had been traded.
He had been traded. Now,
so what happened?
He was up to bat for the Blue Jays when the suspension happened. So someone on the Blue Jays had a pinch hit for him, and he was catching the at-bat that he was originally in for a different team. So he played for both teams in a Major League Baseball in the same game.
He literally played for both teams.
Literally played for both teams in the same game and actually caught his own at-bat for the other team, technically.
Has this ever happened
Never
before?
Happened. It has happened in a different way. But not the same type of. It's happened in a different way, but it's not. I can't speak to that.
So something that's actually not relevant to what you're talking about right now.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect.
This is the only time this has happened this way, and
wow,
yeah.
That's fair. I'm calling my dad tonight to talk to him about this one-of-a-kind baseball event.
Danny Jansen, pretty interesting.
Very fascinating, folks. Don't worry, Civic Media has you covered when it comes to the Brewers games. They are playing the Giants tonight, first pitch at 7:10. You can catch the crew on RCE in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WISS in Oshkosh, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, CQM 98.3 in Park Falls, 99 FM, 1400 AM. Of course, the RJN in Racine and 98.1 FM RJN in Kenosha. First pitch tonight, Brewers still looking pretty gosh darn good. I was heartbroken to see Yelly go down for the season. I'm sure he was. He was batting over 300 earlier in the season. Looked like Yelly of old. He is out, but the Brewers still doing quite well. They are, let's see, nine games up on the Cubs. That's a fair margin.
Yeah, that's good.
And the
rest of the NL Central, not just the Cubs.
Not just the Cubs. Cubs in second, St. Louis, 10.5 games back. Cincinnati Reds, 12.5. Pittsburgh Pirates, 13.5 back. Again, catch all your Brewers action on the Civic Media Radio Network playing the Giants this evening at 7:10. I'll be tuning in. I haven't had my baseball mojo in a while. It was the DNC and all the excitement, and then I was totally exhausted for days and days. But folks, I caught this article. I don't think it's gotten nearly enough coverage here in the state of Wisconsin, because there's really a couple of things that are going on. There is a dark money group, and by dark money, what I mean is, you know, corporations and billionaires can pour as much money into it, and they never have to tell anybody, not even the IRS, who cut them checks. It's completely opaque. I hate dark money. I think 501c4 organizations are stupid and ridiculous and should be banned. By the way, a 501c4, It's defined in the Internal Revenue Code. I'm probably not going to get the exact quote of the language correct here. But it's basically that they're supposed to do something for the public interest, for society. There's supposed to be some societal purpose. Oh, but the 501c4... code section in the Internal Revenue Code also says it can also have a political purpose.
Oh.
I don't know too many people that'd be like, generally when I think politics, I think all kinds of social goods coming from that, especially when no one has to tell who paid for what. But them's the rules. So that's what we're talking about. And the particular dark money group at issue here is Turning Point. Now, people use Turning Point. This is the Charlie Kirk organization. Boy, that guy's a crackpot. But Turning Point isn't just one organization. It's sort of an amalgam of all sorts of organizations. There's a political action committee. That's the arm of Turning Point that'll directly donate to campaigns and candidates. And Turning Point, that arm of Turning Point, their PAC has been plowing thousands of dollars into little local races, like county supervisory races, on behalf of Republicans, including Winnebago County, Dane County, La Crosse, St. Croix, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Brown counties. So if you're looking at local officials that are up for election or your state reps, folks, ask them, did you get any money from Turning Point or any of its affiliated organizations? Ask them that. It is a fair question. They should tell you. Okay. And most officials are really, really proud of it. For example, the Waukesha County Republican Party actually posted a picture on Facebook of them getting like the big check, the $12,000 check.
They pulled out the big check for them. That's so good.
Very cool. Again, this was the Ozaukee County GOP, and it was the official from Turning Point. Their PAC was Tyler Bowyer, B-O-W-Y-E-R. He's the chief operating officer for their PAC. Huh. Well, guess what else he's known for? He's not just the COO of Turning Point's PAC. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was indicted this year for his role in Arizona's fake elector scheme. So that's a badge of honor. Yeah, that's the guy I want to get the big check from. Hey, fraudster, thank you for this money. Turning Point USA also has an $80 million charitable nonprofit that calls itself the, quote, largest and most impactful movement for promoting freedom-loving American values. Oh, you mean like reproductive freedom and freedom to choose my own health care and marry who I want? Oh, wait, no, not those freedoms.
I wonder what charity that actually serves. Is it a charity in like Trump charity type of thing? Oh, by the way, we should all remember that Trump can't hold a charity.
Yeah.
He can no longer have his
own
charity.
In the state of New York.
In the state of New York.
Florida welcomes him with open arms. Ron DeSantis is like, come here.
Did not give money to cancer kids. Way to go. But yeah, charity, great. Charity for Turning Point. And I wonder if they celebrated that fake check with a big old batch of Chick-fil-A so that they can have, you know, deliciousness, like the deliciousness of money, but also forget about what they stand for and forget about all the actual funding of it.
Yeah, there's that. Turning Point USA also has a student division that encourages young people to learn about conservative values. It also has Turning Point Faith, which says its aim is to push back against, check out this word salad, everybody, quote, secular totalitarianism in America.
Do you know what they have teaching those kids?
That's not the whole thing. I just want us to talk about that for a second.
That's just part of it?
That's just part of it.
Oh,
secular
God.
Totalitarianism. Just quick gut check here. Totalitarianism, authoritarianism, and fascism very rarely, if ever, are actual secular movements. They may appear secular on the outside, but their through line is typically a religion infused approach to the world, which says we're the good people, those are the bad people, and they don't get any rights in our country. Does this sound familiar? Or their rights just shouldn't be respected as much as ours? Oh, wait, maybe we can put them in their own neighborhoods. Oh, wait, maybe we can round up 12 million migrants who help harvest our crops and do the jobs that most Americans would never do at wages that are well below even the most subsistence of wages. Yes, totalitarianism, authoritarianism, and fascism is often riddled with religious imagery because you have to morally justify the otherizing, the ripping of dignity away from other human beings. Secularism is the opposite of that. In other words, to use the phrase secular totalitarianism in America is an oxymoron of the highest moronic order. Okay, but that's not it. Secular totalitarianism in America, to eradicate wokeism from the church and wake up believers to their biblical responsibility to fight for freedom. I wonder,
what does that even mean?
I'm saying word salad.
Get rid of the wokeness and then awaken. They literally said get rid of wokeness and then awaken.
Well, and the idea that, and of course they're talking to and about Christians, ethno-nationalist, white nationalist Christians, that message is frankly scary. Biblical responsibility to fight for freedom. Freedom for who exactly? All human beings, because all human beings have an innate dignity that we must be respected in our system of laws in a secular democracy where there is no state religion? No, not that. So this is Turning Point. And last but not least is this arm of Turning Point, the dark money group who can take money, you know, because of Citizens United, which we'll talk about in the 3 o'clock hour, from any billionaire or corporation it chooses and never disclose who gives it money. The last arm of Turning Point is Turning Point Action, which is running what they call, quote, a Chase the Vote campaign. This is the 501c4. And this Chase the Vote campaign, by their own description, is not out asking for volunteers to give their time and sign up to help knock doors, make phone calls, you know, a real organic movement because your ideas are better and people are motivated and energized to join your movement, your political viewpoint. No. Turning Point Action in their, quote, Chase the Vote campaign is deploying, by their own accounting, by their own language, paid, quote, ballot chasers, hundreds of them, which they are currently training. These paid ballot chasers are going to be coming to neighborhoods and knocking on doors. These are the equivalent of paid mercenaries. Knocking doors. Because you know why? Because when you can't beat them with your ideas toe-to-toe, you'll just pay people to spout your ideas and knock on doors. I'm going to come back, tell you a little bit more about this. I want to hear from you. What do you think about this? Paid mercenary door knockers from a dark money 501c4 organization coming to your neighborhood, courtesy of Charlie Kirk and Turning Point USA. We'll be back after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
He loves you and he needs money.
Wisconsin, or welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. With me, as always, fancy Brian Kelly, because you spell his name with a Y, folks. You want to join our conversation? I'm talking about what's going on with Turning Point Action. Not Turning Point USA, that's the umbrella group. Turning Point Action is the specific political action committee arm, the 501c4 of Turning Point USA. It is hiring apparently maybe hundreds, at least 100 plus paid door knockers to come into your communities. I don't know whether I can call them anything other than paid mercenaries going out. And here's the kick. The 501c4 doesn't have to disclose any of its donors. Now, what are Democrats doing? Might be a valid question. There is no analogy to what Turning Point Action is doing in the state of Wisconsin. Why, might you be asking, is Turning Point Action doing this in the state of Wisconsin? Because after Trump and the MAGA cult took over the Republican Party and the Republican National Committee, after that takeover, they shut down all of their ground game in Wisconsin. Like, that is why.
That's why you have someone like Hovde, because he's self-funding, and they have all the money in control, and they don't want anybody else to have any of the money besides Trump and what he wants to do.
So this is why Turning Point, with its, you know, dark money, blacklisted, can't look at it list of God knows what donors, is sending out paid door-knocking mercenaries in your neighborhood and mine. I'm really excited to have Gary from Sussex, who's a conservative, joining us. Gary, let's just start with the real basics and the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Citizens United. Because I'll grant you that Democrats use 501c4 groups as well, but I still hate them. Do you agree with me, Gary, that Citizens United was a terrible decision, that corporations aren't people and that money isn't speech? Do we agree about that part?
No, not really.
Tell me why. Why is money speech? And if money is speech, why doesn't that necessarily turn our democracy over to the billionaire class? Because they can speak more than me and you can, right? If you got a billion bucks, you get to...
I understand. First of all, everybody uses... Wait, Maggie. Everybody uses the word democracy. We live in a republic.
Okay, Gary. I want to stay on the point. This is why I interrupt people.
Okay.
I want us to have a conversation. Why is it good? If you want to call it a republic, great. It's a republic that we use a democratic process to elect people, where people go vote. Why is it a good thing for any system that uses voting to declare that money is speech, which by definition will allow certain people to drown out the voices of people like you and me because we don't have $1 billion? Why is that a good thing?
Well, but like you said before, both sides are involved in money.
Gary, yes, and it's bad. And Democrats have tried to fight this. I just want to establish the principle. You've said to me that you don't agree.
Yes, I do. To a point, yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
100% with you.
Great. So you do, I just want to be clear, because we're trying to work through this together, that money shouldn't be legally considered equivalent to speech.
Right, but the thing is...
Wait. Let's just start with that first principle, because then we can get to how it applies. So if money shouldn't be the equivalent to speech, whether a 501c4 organization is Republican or democratically aligned, it's not good. Because we can't tell who's donating money, we can't tell who's speaking, and that is not good for the average American, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Am I right, my brother?
Right. Yes, my sister.
We've got one.
Great. Brian's my brother. You're my sister.
Wonderful. All right, now go ahead.
Okay, but can I just bring up something that you said? The reason I called... not to talk about the 501c4, but you said something on Monday, all right? Can I just ask you what you meant by that, okay? And that you were sitting there, you were on a tirade about Eric Huffke going out there and calling all women. You said, this is what Eric Huffke thinks about women. And he was talking about Tammy Baldwin. He doesn't like Tammy Baldwin. He's ripping on her. But you ended it. You said, well, how do you women feel about how he talks about women? No, he was talking about one person. He loves women. He just doesn't like Tammy Baldwin, and he's just ripping on her. Not all women.
So, Gary, I'm gonna disagree with you.
Okay.
Here's why. The reporter asked him a question, not about Tammy Baldwin. The reporter asked a question that was this: women voters are really important. What do you say to women voters? And his response was, I don't like Tammy Baldwin, and if you don't have anything nice to say about people, I won't say anything at all. So it is completely fair. It is completely fair for me to criticize a candidate as having nothing nice to say about women when a reporter asks a completely open-ended question about a critical constituency. And here's the further point. It's okay for him to say, I hate Tammy Baldwin. I don't think politicians should use language like that, but he can say that. He can attack her. They're in a campaign together. But when you refuse as a candidate to address the concerns of women when asked an open-ended question, and you instead try to attack and just make it about the one person who happens to be a woman running against you, that to me sends a very clear message that women don't rate for Eric Huffke. It is fair for me to draw that conclusion, and that was the argument I was making. We played the tape in full. We let people, that was my take on it. Gary, I'm sorry, we're running out of time. I hear you. There are different ways to interpret that. I was giving you mine, and I think it's damn fair. Hopefully, when Mr. Huffke is asked again, what do you say to women voters? He'll actually have something to say that is meaningful. Until then, women, I don't know what you're doing voting for that guy. He's a big old fat schmuck. I'm Maggie Dawn. That's Brian Kelly. We have an amazing guest coming up in the next hour. You're not going to want to miss it. We'll be talking about Citizens United. Don't go anywhere, people. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
the biggest fear that I and I think a lot of our supporters have is the outside money.